You are the top 1% of all naval aviators.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
Oh man, I gotta tell you, the movie was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. If you love the first one, you'll love this one, and I don't want to oversell it for you. I want you to enjoy it for yourself, but I left very satisfied last night. Top Gun Maverick, yeah, it's a win. It's definitely a win. It's a win for the naval aviation community. It is a win for Pensacola. It is a win for people who just plain love the movies. I mean, that's really all you need, right? 437-1620 is my phone number. We're going to be talking now with Commander Retired Frank Walleye Weiser, who has been on the show several different times. Also, he hosted the coverage of the Blue Angels in their homecoming show at the beach we did last year. That was so much fun. And I just tell you, he's such a sweetheart. He's always available. You know, like I'll text him, be like, yeah, sure, of course. He's always in, you know, Greg McWhorter, same thing. And they're best buddies, so it's always a course. But we have a lot of questions to ask him. Commander Weiser, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. Great to talk to you.
Oh, great to have you. Let's just start with the basic thing. What did you do on this movie?
They called my transition office when I was working on the Super Hornet Blue Angel transition and were interested in trying to find a way to safely film an extreme low altitude scene for the movie. And the head of the Naval Aviation Forces had said, you know, no pilot, not even the top instructors, are going below 100 feet. And Tom Cruise and Jerry Bruckheimer were looking for something significantly lower. And that was what they've used on all the previews. And it's actually a pretty fun part of the movie, as you saw last night. So it occurred to someone involved that perhaps Blue Angel could do that, because number 5 does that during every air show, the sneak pass that comes from left to right. And so the Blue Angels, of course, during that time were flying air shows. This is in summer of 18. And so I was there and had, you know, flown on the team for 5 years. So it was a well mitigated strategy to use someone with experience to film that scene. And that kind of blossomed into a variety of other scenes that we ended up filming.
So you were not just, see, I had known that you were kind of an advisor on the film, but you were well more than an advisor. you're actually the guy with the joystick. You know, you're actually maneuvering it through and making those low passes. Is that when we're watching the movie, we're watching Walleye?
Yeah, what the Navy did a great job of is bringing in a lot of Navy pilots to film scenes that they were proficient in, meaning the carrier scenes are filmed by the flight instructor that was teaching carrier landings at the RAG, and then the dogfighting scenes were flown by the Top Gun experts on dogfighting who teach it every day. So my scenes were the low altitude and the inverted scenes. You'll see, as you probably saw in the preview and in the movie, any scene where you see an airplane at what we would call extreme low altitude, like we see during the air show all the time, those were the scenes that I did. And then there's a flyby scene at a funeral, which I was involved in, and flew a whole bunch of different runs. That was one airplane. They've turned into a variety of them. There's a really low takeoff that you see at the start of the movie. It's a Skunk Works airplane, and it overflies an admiral who's trying to shut
the
plane down, to not give too much spoiler. That's me and one of our Blue Angel airplanes that they've, you know, CGI'd into a spaceship, basically. But that's identical to the number 6 takeoff maneuver, which we do every day. So it made sense that we use someone who does that every day to film those scenes.
How much of the you just mentioned that a little bit of it was CGI work, but the vast majority of it, I have to assume, is it's actual flying, and they may superimpose a background or something. But there, I mean, a lot of this is the reason it looks so good is because it looks so real. Is that right?
Totally. I am blown away by how much of the movie is literally filmed in the airplane with actual pilots and the actors in the airplane with them. There's very little CGI in the film. And what is in there is, at least to those of us who fly Navy airplanes, apparent right away. But the great majority of it, when you see those airplanes down low and ripping through canyons and doing roll-ins, it is all absolutely legitimate.
Wow, that's amazing. So how did it feel for you? You've done a lot, okay? Nothing phases me. I'm Commander Frank Weiser, you know, right? And, you know, you worked on the transition for the Blues, and you did the Super Hornet. You came back, and you filled in when, of course, Captain Koosh was killed in that horrible crash, and all of these things that you've done. Be honest, was it, oh, I'm cool, I'm a professional, or was it, oh, my God, I get to do this?
I'm not. I had the benefit of being Blue Angel number 7, where you fly with athletes and actors all year long, and so I wouldn't put me in the category of being prone to being starstruck. But I was excited to see how Paramount operated and the whole process. And it was important to me that I'm just a Navy pilot. I showed up and flew my scenes and left. And that's the job. It wasn't a chance to try to grip and grin and rub elbows with people you see on TV or try to hook myself up for down the road. But the scenes were fun, and it was important to me that we flew them safely and that we did it right, and that it was kind of, you know, brought pride and credit to the Navy and to all of my fellow pilots, and that when people watched it, they'd look and say, that can't be, and then say, no, Navy pilots did that. Absolutely.
That's fantastic. And I know, like, from the Navy's point of view, or at least I assume, you correct me if I'm wrong, the reason the Navy is willing to do this is not because we're going to make an amazing movie, but, you know, that's not their motivation. Just like with the Blue Angels, the motivation is recruiting. And if ever there was a recruiting movie for Navy pilots and all pilots, it was Top Gun. I assume their perspective on this was, hey, it worked one time. Let's see if we can't do this again.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I actually approached it from that perspective with a very Blue Angel perspective, meaning one of the best guys I've ever met in the whole world joined the Navy because he saw the Blue Angels fly. And so I always felt as a Blue Angel, if I can just find one more young man like that and inspire one person to join that will serve their country proudly, then it's a mission success on my end. And I felt the same way with Top Gun 2, in the sense that some of the most incredible men and women I've flown with joined and flew alongside me because they saw that movie as a kid. So, boy, if we could do that again and get some more incredible pilots and just service members into the military, well, you know, mission accomplished once again.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I know, look, when you're watching the first movie, there's definitely, looking back, the feel like, well, maybe that's not 100% reality in this. But I felt, honestly, like in this movie, there were still some places where I felt that same way, too. But I felt like it's almost like, you know, the producers and, you know, knew that they had to make a movie for a much more educated audience, an audience that's much more savvy about what is and isn't possible. And I felt like they did an even better job of making it more realistic. Was that your sense too?
Yeah, it was my sense. And I know there are Navy pilots worldwide who, you know, cringe a little bit at the first one and some of the corny portions.
Sure.
But if they let us be too involved, we'd just make a documentary and it wouldn't be any fun to watch. So they need to. It is a major motion picture and they need to keep it that way. But I definitely felt like the second one was far superior in terms of being realistic.
Absolutely. We're talking to Frank Walleye. He's a retired commander from the Navy, former two-time member of the Blue Angels, a technical advisor to the new film Top Gun Maverick. He helped with the transition from the Hornet to the Super Hornet for the Blue Angels. Frank, when I'm watching this movie, I have my 18-year-old son with me who is... he is an avid enthusiast about tanks. Tanks are his thing, like that. But as a sort of a side note, you know, planes. And he knows way more than I do about all the technical elements of it. And I'm watching, and he's having a blast. Of course, he's loving the film just as a film. But, you know, he'll sit over and he'll whisper to me like, no, that can't happen. And I'm like, what? And so I wanted to ask you, because, again, I'm not going to give away any spoilers. I think you could, you know, sort of, you would anticipate this being in the movie anyway, okay? But there's a scene where Tom Cruise is flying the F-18 in a dogfighting and pulls a Cobra. And he leans over and he's like, nope. Not in the F-18. He's like, the SU-21 can do it, but the F-18 cannot pull that off. Is he right?
I'd say he's partially right, yep. And one of the ways to, I don't know that we'll talk specifically about the Cobra. I don't want to have men in dark suits show up at my front door here and haul me
fair
away.
Enough.
Government secrets, but I would say, especially for people in Pensacola, go out and watch the air show, and what you'll see is number five comes around doing a what we call a minimum radius turn, mm-hmm. and then puts his aircraft into a pirouette climb, followed by what the Super Hornet allows. This is a change turbo nose down authority, which means when you're pointed straight up, it has this incredible ability to put its nose back to the horizon really fast, and it's a little hard on the aircraft and the pilot, but it's an incredible technique, and so they sort of showcase that in the movie. So maybe not necessarily a Cobra, but what they depicted there is pretty legitimate.
Pretty close. Okay, all right. Well, you know, I'll have to go home and tell him he was totally wrong. Doesn't know what he's talking about. My expert says.
Don't do that.
You know, one of the things I loved about this particularly is right at the very end credits, you know, we don't get much mention. NAS Pensacola doesn't get much mention in the film. We are in the end credits. But I love the way this celebrates naval aviation and is honest about the full scope of it. I know you didn't do a lot of the interacting with like the script writers and all of that kind of stuff, but how do you feel now that you've seen the end product and you know you were a part of it pre-COVID times? We've been waiting forever for this movie to come out. What's your take?
I was really pleased. You know, I deliberately didn't ask about the scenes and what the storyline was going to be. I was kind of excited to see it for myself, and you know, maybe a little bit nervous that it was hopefully lived up to the hype. But I knew the scenes only where the actors were in the back of my airplane and were saying their lines. So there were a couple scenes where I kind of knew what was coming because I'd listened to him say it so many times. But I was really pleased. I thought they did a nice job balancing, like we just talked about, you know, realism and making it a movie, and then also bringing the first one into it and tying up some loose ends. And I thought they just did an incredible job. And not just me thinking that, it was everyone I've talked to now who's seen it has had very similar comments. So overall, I think it's a home run for Paramount.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And again, if the mission is to make people, you know, re-experience something like this that we grew up on, you know, that you and I grew up on, and then, you know, maybe we have a recruiting benefit to it. And just, you know, kind of one last note, I want to make sure that people know this because they don't always understand this. You know, we talk about this being the cradle of naval aviation, and it is for the, you know, the very first round of indoctrination and training that you get as a pilot. But we train all the WIZOs, all the NFOs, the naval flight officers, the backseaters. When you fly a two-seat profile in, you know, in the Navy, that person was trained and winged right here, right?
That's exactly right. And another cool aspect of this is they had two Top Gun painted jets for the film, a two-seater and a single-seater. And the single-seater, once the filming was over, I flew it down to Jacksonville to become a Blue Angel airplane, and that exact aircraft is in our show every single day.
Nice. Nice. So one of the single-seat Super Hornets that was in the movie is actually in the Blue Angels on the team, flies every day in the demo. Oh, that's fantastic. Commander Frank Weiser, cool, retired from the United States Navy, former Blue Angel. He was in the solo path, you know, 765. He also came back to fill in the billet when Captain Koos was killed, and then he worked on the transition of the Super Hornet. Lots of experience and a technical advisor to the film Top Gun Maverick and a good friend. Frank, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for all you do to promote the Navy, and certainly, man, I appreciate it.
You bet. Great talking to you, buddy.
You bet.